Welcome, welcome, welcome to this episode of the Smaller Kerning Podcast. I'm actually rewinding a little bit to middle of September when I made a post that got a little bit of feedback, a little bit of throwback, and hey, I got broad shoulders, I got no pride. I can take it, so don't worry. But let me explain and unpack it a little bit more. That on this episode of the Small Acre Hunting Podcast. You are listening to the Small Acre Hunting Podcast, the hunting podcast that is free of advertisements, bought and paid for opinions, and minutes of sponsorships. If that's what you want, there's a plethora of other podcasts out there. Here, we're going to talk openly, we're going to talk honestly, and we're going to live in the real world. Free of sponsorships and paid for advertisements and opinions that are governed and dictated by them. That sounds interesting. Stay tuned for this episode of the Small Acre Hunting Podcast. All right. So it's been a while. I admit, I'm actually going to record two podcasts today. They're going to be shorter in nature, but hey, I wanted to get back in the studio. I know a lot of you guys have been sending encouraging thoughts and well wishes and even kudos to kind of my inability to produce is a direct result of prioritizing my life a little bit even more so than I have even the past few years. But I'm going to try to set aside a little bit of time and get back in the studio a little bit. Podcasts are pretty much the easiest thing for me to develop. It takes longer to write an article. It takes longer to do a video and such. So figured I'd sit down and discuss the September 16th post where I got some people that disagreed. I got some people that even private messaged me and thinks that it was not the appropriate thing to say. And that I even had a couple people reach out and say it wasn't godly. And while I appreciate the feedback, I would say saying it was ungodly, I would gently push back at that. But in the end, a lot of it is because context was lost. So on September 16th, I posted on Small Acre Hunting's social media, mainly Facebook is where I do a lot of the stuff. Instagram, side note, and such. I'm not as active on that for a variety of very specific reasons, but on Small Acre Hunting's social media page on Facebook, I put the number one early season mistake people make: hunting because it's hunting season. And then I went on, holy smokes, folks, you can do a ton of damage to your chances. Never hunt just because you finally can again. Now, that didn't seem abrasive to me. It didn't seem like something that was uber offensive to anybody, but it was taken that way by a lot of people. Now, I must, you know, if you followed Small Acre Hunting long enough, you know that the vast majority of my time that I spend in the tree and the dedicated work that I do, while I care about all wildlife conservation and I care about, you know, fill in the freezer, and I enjoy doing that, and I'm not what I would consider a world-class white-tailed trophy hunter. Everything I do is to try to down that next buck that fits my personal criteria. And if you told me, hey, Ty, what is one thing you could do to really blow your chances or odds at downing a buck that fits your categories this year, I would say hunt whenever I want, because I can. If I can hunt, go hunt. Again, you have to unravel that a little bit more, but I would surely think most people that follow know that what I was getting at is there's a lot of people that opening weekend, they go in too hard, too fast. They maybe push a wind they shouldn't, or some people just disregard wind altogether, and they're like, I only have a small spot, I only have a small property, it's opening, I've waited 300 and, you know, some odd days when the last one went out, I'm going to go out, Ty. Okay, you know, that's fine. That's the awesome thing about hunting is that it is very personal, and you can do it in a wide array of ways, some of which I would agree, some of which I wouldn't. But as long as you're legal, I got no beef with you. I got no problem with you. Just, I really think the biggest thing that people have to understand is there are decisions that people make to up their chances or odds or a location's odds and chances of providing a buck that fits their goals and their expectations. And they've got to protect that. You know, I've been able to hunt because I have reduction zones since the middle of September, and I haven't hunted at all. The first day that I hunted was actually the 13th, which was, this is Sunday, the 15th of October, and I hunted Friday morning. And you've seen those videos. I've shared it both on YouTube and on Facebook. I had a great sit, kind of uneventful. Had those two, that young buck and then that two-year-old 6-point, which I hope just stays like that. My dream, you see them every now and then, a true basic 3x3 mainframe that just is a giant. They're to me, they're rarer than a Boone and Crockett. I would love to see that happen. Most of the time it doesn't. Most of the big sixes when they're two-year-olds, they turn into an 8 or a 10 the next year or something like that. They just throw a frame and they at least do a little bit more. It's just so atypically rare. But he has an excellent frame. He's a solid deer for the age that he is, even though he's just not blessed with number of tines. But that was the first time I had hunted. And there's two main reasons. One, priorities in life. I've refused to, sacrifice a few nights of soccer for my son, go to soccer instead of hunting. I sacrificed some weekends with families and such rather than go hunting. I say sacrifices, but sacrifice does not mean a negative. It just means anytime you make a decision to go to the path to the right, you're sacrificing the path options that you have otherwise. Maybe it's straight, maybe it's left. So I use sacrifice in the sense of didn't do that because this was the right decision. But there was a few times where I could have went, but early on, the way I hunt in reduction zones, I'm not going to hunt my high priority spots. I'm not going to even hunt a spot where I have a high chance, in my opinion, based on intel over the years and the location of the property, location of the stand. I'm not going to go hunt a spot that I think, man, there's a good chance I shoot a, or see a shooter buck. No, I got to get a doe down, an antlerless, in my reduction zones before I can start buck hunting until October 1st comes in. And the situation just didn't happen. But again, that goes back to my priorities, my goals. I'm not going to sacrifice. You might be willing to. You might, you know what, I enjoy hunting too much. I enjoy getting out there. I need the relaxation. I need whatever. Insert whatever reasoning you have. That's fine. And maybe I could have added a little bit of context to this. The number one early season mistake people make that are pursuing mature bucks, then maybe everybody would have been fine with it. You know, hindsight's 20/20, but if you followed Small Acre Hunting long enough, I think you kind of understand Ty and his mentality and the way he goes about his approach to hunting. I thought that was kind of a given. But, you know, if you're listening to this and your goal is to shoot the top 10, 15% of the bucks in your area, hunting just because you can hunt, I firmly believe, is like the number one mistake that people make, or it's the number one negative influencer to their percent chance. You know, if we had this magic display on or an app that tracks our percent chances of shooting a buck of our caliber that we want, if you went and hunted just because you could, you'd see that percent drop. And by a pretty big amount, in my opinion. It just is what it is. So you got to make decisions. Early season is not a time frame to push it unless you've got really good intel. You know, there's a lot of guys out there that'll go into a bed because I will say, and that's how I got Cicero on the wall. I knew where he was betting with certain pre-dawn winds and certain situations, and I knew the likelihood of him betting about 47 yards north of my stand was very high. I've shared that story numerous times. You can check it out on Habitat Podcast. I told the story here on this podcast. I went out, it was October 4th or 5th. I can't remember. I know, terrible of me. But everything fit. The wind was perfect. The pre-dawn wind was perfect. The conditions were wet, but not raining at the time. I had a good entrance and exit. I had a great stand location set up in an area that he liked to get up early and hit the clover and the oats that I had there before going off to check the main bedding areas or do a scrape swing or go on to the larger food sources. And I went in. I went in and hunted very early, much earlier than I normally would. And honestly, this last Friday, everything kind of lined up the same way. I had strong east winds. I had good wetter conditions coming out of a wet spell. Everything was lining up. I had great food source and everything. And I was like, you know what? I know I can slip in, slip out without being an issue. It's the shortest entrance and exit of any place that I have. Pretty much walking right off the property line edge from a neighboring property and boom, you're up the tree. So I went ahead and did it. But I'm also, there's tons of stands out there that even if the conditions were perfect, I'd have to really fight myself to go in and hunt spots that are high risk at this time. So that's the reason why I posted that, because I see guys make the mistake all the time. And maybe you're one, maybe you're listening, you know, it's like you've been itching to get out there and go hunting so bad that then finally when you can, you go because you can. Which is fine. You just got to be willing to accept the consequences of that action. That's all. As long as you're willing to do that, that it may have a negative impact on your goals and your season, go for it. But what I don't want you to do is be a guy like some people that I know or some guys will text me every single year at some point. I hear a story either in season or reflecting on the season, and they're like, well, I was getting all these pictures, and October 1st came in, and I slid in there to the stand that had shown the most activity, and I think I blew it, and then I never saw him again the rest of the year, or I saw him less and less, or he went nocturnal, and blah, 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 and all these things. Well, as I ask more questions and unpack their early season decisions, it makes sense that that deer kind of stopped showing up. So you can be your own worst enemy is how to summarize this episode into one condensed message. So that's the topic. Again, I said it was going to be kind of a short episode. I'm going to do another episode coming up. I'm going to start unpacking. This will probably drop sometime midweek or so, but I'm going to start unpacking the four things. You know, in an early season post, October 2nd, I shared, you know, not every property has the same standards. Not every property can benefit from, you know, maybe there's some properties out there that don't really need to focus on food, don't really need to focus on water, don't really need to focus on X, Y, Z, whatever it might be. But there are four things that I really think for smaller property owners, especially, these four things are so crucial. And these are the things that I think every small property owner should prioritize. So I'll give you a little bit of a sneak peek, or I'll just reread. I guess it's not a sneak peek. You've already seen it. But number one, you got to be realistic in your goals and expectations. That's what I'm going to be discussing on the next episode. So that's the biggest thing. You got to be realistic in your goals and expectations. It kind of ties in with this decision. You got to be realistic with what impacts you're causing when you make the decision to hunt. Number two, let good entrance and exit routes control where your hunting locations are. I can't wait to unpack that one, because that I see that time and time again on friends' properties, consultations, discussing failures of other people and such with them and working through. Number three, care more about creating daytime security than food. That goes back to the whole people pay way too much attention to food at the cost of other things. Thinking of food and doing food is not necessarily a negative in and of itself. It's, are you doing it to the detriment of something else or sacrificing attention put elsewhere? Number four, give them security, not just cover. And that's the number that I got a ton of questions about. So we are going to unpack that hopefully as deeply as I possibly can. But that's a ways away. Little update on my season. Friday when I went out, I really thought high rise was going to happen. I was like, I'm going to do this again where I go out the first hunt and lay down one of my main target bucks. Because the reason I say that is when those bucks came in mid-morning, around 9:30, he is usually the third one of that group. So typically speaking, there's that scrub buck, and then there's the two-year-old six-point mainframe, and then high rise usually comes in last. So I waited and 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 actually sat longer than I probably would have if they hadn't come through, because I knew the likelihood was pretty high. And he, I waited an hour after they had already come through. It was about 11 before I even started packing up to get down. So he just didn't, it just didn't happen. But, you know, that's another testament to the fact, I've said time and time again, those bucks came through and they were still feeding around 10 a.m. Well beyond, I could shoot, I think it was like 728, something like that. You're talking a full 2 hours, 3 hours after legal light. These deer are still on their feet. They're still eating. And yes, I understand they're not massively mature bucks, but I have photo after photo after photo of high rise doing this with them. And it's just a testament to how that's what we need to be doing. Those deer had security, not just cover. And they felt comfortable to be moving on the property at that hour. They didn't feel like they had to be nestled up into a hole somewhere for the daytime until it evaporated. So that's all I got on this episode of the Small Acre Hunting Podcast. If you want to support this venture, if this is something you like to hear, you can check out my Patreon page. Of course, I don't have that queued up at this time. Let me do that very quickly. It's probably one of the smallest ways for you to support the podcast, support Small Acre Hunting. I will try to have, I'm failing to pull it up right now. Oh, it's because my internet's down. That's why. So, but yeah, you can swing that out. You share the podcast. If you like it, if you think people can benefit from it, again, it only grows because of you. Because again, I don't take sponsorships. I don't take advertisements. It's because of you that I make this podcast. So if you want to say thank you in the smallest way, give me a review, give me a share, and it means the world to me. This is Ty. Small Acre Hunting. God bless and good luck out there.